The sermon for today reflects upon, thinks about, meditates, is strengthened by Jesus' parable that we heard from Luke 18. I begin with repeating verse 1. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be open to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's interesting, the meaning, the power, the purpose of this parable is said right up front in the first verse. It doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes Jesus tells a parable and the disciples ask, what's the meaning of the parable? Other times, he'll tell several parables in sequence in a row, they're recorded, and they all are making the same point, and you kind of learn by each parable what his main point is. Here, it's right up front. Luke says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. To the effect, that little phrase right there, you can translate it different ways, but one way, and kind of more common way to translate that little Greek term is, it is necessary. It is necessary. And you could say, he told them, in effect, that it is necessary to always pray and not lose heart. Always. Paul said to pray unceasingly. And I have read commentaries that say, well, that was hyperbole and he didn't really mean that. Really, all our life, every word is a prayer and praise to God. That's his intention. We are his people. And so, perhaps when you stand, I like Culver's. This was from Wisconsin. You go to Culver's or Taco Bell or McDonald's, and you say, I'd like one of your butter-fried bacon cheeseburgers at Culver's, or a taco, or whatever your favorite food is. Even those words, you're ordering something from the worker there, but you know that God is giving you food and sustenance. You're going to pray when you receive it. Or you think, as we do, we hear the siren of the emergency vehicle, the rescue vehicle, and we pray for those doing the work and those who are being helped. Or we go out to do our work for today, maybe a long task in front of us, and we pray. We pray for safety. We pray for success. So our prayers may not be formally constant, but we're living in God's grace, whatever we're doing. It also reminds us of those sins when we don't say things or think things that are according to God's will. Always to pray. And not to lose heart. Not to say, I prayed for this for 3 years and nothing has happened yet, I'm going to stop praying. Not that. Not that I prayed and I fasted for 3 days. Nobody knows I did it, but I fasted for 3 days and I prayed for 3 days. And now God didn't answer me, so I'm going to stop. He wasn't listening. Not that. But not to lose heart. So that was what Jesus wanted to teach them with this parable. It's right up front. This is the meaning of the parable. And he tells this parable about this unjust judge. And Jesus tells this story very clearly. He doesn't have to give very much of a history of this judge, does he? He fears neither God nor man. This is just a bad guy. Fears neither God nor man. And so this widow is going to him, needing help, needing justice. And she continues to go to him, so that this unjust judge says to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, I don't care anything about God, and I don't care anything about anybody, but this woman is so much coming to me, this has to stop. I'm going to listen. And then Jesus stops the parable right there. And he says, hear what the unrighteous judge says. An unrighteous, just a bad guy. He said that he would help her because he's tired of listening to her. He says, will not God give justice to his elect? Will not a just God? He's making a contrast here. He tells this very detailed in that it's specific. He's an unjust judge. He doesn't care about God or humans, nothing. But he listened to the woman finally. If he's unjust, then what about the just God, the one who listens? Isn't he listening? Of course he will. And he will give justice to his elect. Now that's a very specific word. The ones he chose. So Jesus is telling his disciples this teaching so that they would pray always and not lose heart. And he's telling them, let me tell you about a judge who's just a really bad guy, but he does listen finally to the woman who keeps coming to him. She constantly went to him. She did not lose heart. She was going to beat him down and make him listen. But what about God, who loves you and who elected you to be his son, to be his daughter? Of course he's going to listen to you. Of course, no matter what you're thinking, no matter what it seems like, God's listening to you because he elected you to be his child. He chose to listen to you. He is listening. We could look at several passages in Scripture that speak about the elect, but I chose this from Ephesians 1, which I printed there. Paul wrote, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us, and you can put in there, even as he elected us, in him, that's in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. If God chose us before the foundation of the world, if he elected us before the foundation of the world, won't he certainly listen to our prayers here every day? Doesn't he even know what we're going to pray? We have pets. We have flocks and herds. We have these possessions that we pay attention to. And we're just the owner. But God chose us to be with him eternally in Christ. So he will listen because he chose to be our God, to be our Heavenly Father. Of course he's going to listen. This is the power of that one word that Jesus uses there. Will not God give justice to his elect, the ones he chose? And I have more there from Ephesians 1, just to bring to point how much he has elected us and chosen us. He has elected us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. If we pray to God, help me obey you, God, help me to be holy and blameless, forgive my sins, is that not his will, exactly what he wants us to do? That's what he chose us to be. So when we pray for that, he listens. That is his will. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. When we pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ, for the sake of his Son, some phrasing like that, we are putting before God the Father, your Son died for me. Your Son rose for me. His shed blood is on me. Father, in his shed blood, in the death of your Son, I pray to you. Will he not listen? He is listening. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. God is listening. But Pastor, I've been praying for this for 5 years. I've been praying for this for 15 years. Is God not listening? He is listening. He has his will that he was going to carry out. When Jesus says then at the end of this reading, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? He is calling his disciples, us, to believe that God is in control and that we are part of the elect and that he was listening to us his whole life. If we get to the point, God forbid, that we would say, God is not listening, he hasn't answered this, and you know what's in the back of our mind when we say that, he hasn't answered this the way I wanted, but he hasn't answered this, and so that's it. I'm going to stop going to church, stop reading the Bible, I'm going to stop praying. And then what has happened? Faith has stopped. And that's what Jesus is saying. Will the Son of Man find faith? Will Jesus, he is saying, will I find you in faith, praying to the Father, knowing he's in control, knowing that you are the elect, so you keep praying and are in faith? He challenges us, he directs us, he teaches us, as Luke says and starts this reading, to pray constantly and not lose heart. We are the elect. It is God's will to save us. It is God's will to listen to us. And it's God's will for us to say, you are in charge, God. You're doing what needs to be done. But I'm still worried, and I'm going to keep praying about this every day. And he keeps listening. And no matter what, God, your will be done. I pray in the name of Jesus, your will be done. I believe. You are in control, and you have saved me. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, forgive us when our prayers stop. Forgive us when we give up or are tempted into unbelief or tempted to sin that takes our faith away. Whatever has happened, forgive us Strengthen us each day. Strengthen us in these words of Jesus, that we may continue to pray that, of course, you are listening, and of course, you are answering. Help us to know and trust you are in control. We can bring all things to you in prayer. And that your will, in the name of Jesus Christ, is being done. Keep us in your will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.